This week's parasha has a nice, timely inyan adiyayma. The pasuk of Usfartim Lachem Mimachas HaShabbos is in Parashas Emor. Of course, it always falls out during Sfiras HaEmor. And the pasuk says, Usfartim Lachem Mimachas HaShabbos, Mimim Habiyachem Asamer HaTenufa, Sheva Shabbosis Timimes Tiyana. You should count from the Mimachas HaShabbos, which we interpret to mean the day after the Yom Tov of Pesach. Seven whole weeks. Now, if the pasuk would end there, so we would understand that term, Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais, to be the end of the sentence that began with Usfartem. Usfartem Lachem, Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais. You should count for yourself 7 whole weeks. But the pasuk doesn't end there. The pasuk then says Tiena, which means if you're interested in the grammar and thinking through the sentence structure, Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais Tiena is an independent sentence. So it sounds like there's 2 sentences in the pasuk. Usfartim Lachem Mimachas HaShabbos. You should count. You should start counting from the the day of Pesach. And then the pasuk says, Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais Tiena. They should be 7 whole weeks. The word Tiena makes it a separate sentence, almost like it's a separate. I don't mean a separate mitzvah, of course, but a separate sentence, a separate instruction. They should be whole weeks.
You should have a little bit before and a little bit after in order to be mashlim 7 whole weeks. You can't start in the middle of a week.
But we do start in the middle of a week.
Right.
But what is the meaning then of this sentence that they should be whole weeks? That the pasuk seems to be going out of its way to say they should be whole weeks. The tiyena makes it much more of an emphasis on that. So what does that come to say? And I guess we should tie in also, the Yom Tov of Shavuos is called Shavuos. Why is it called Shavuos? Obviously because of the Sfiras HaEmor, which has a Sfiras HaYomim and a Sfiras HaShavuos. And the Yom Tov at the end, which is named for the mitzvah, but its name is Shavuos. So again, there seems to be a particular emphasis on that. What's the underlying idea here?
It's interesting, if I may, the next pasuk is the chizuk, give the chizuk to the kavoyim, because it's ad mimochot shabbos hashviz tispu hamishim yom. A shabbos hashviz, then it's not yontiv, right? That's just the seventh. If you start on Shabbos, mochot shabbos, then that pasuk is more clear.
See, but over there, the word shabbos could mean week. See, sometimes it means week, and sometimes it means the Sabbath. So their kash, the Karaim's kash, was more from the first pasuk. Machras HaShabbos over there, the can mean week. So it sounds like, Sunday, that's why you have that whole controversy with the Karaim. So what's the idea, though, of Chag HaShavuos, that it's the Yom Tov of weeks, and the mitzvah has this sentence of, it's almost as if the Torah is saying, see to it that they're whole weeks. So I think there's a little bit of a combination of Svasembeth and Rav Hirsch, that the idea when you count things, so you have items that are individuals. When you count them, it's really a process of bundling them together and putting them together into units, into groups. And then the mitzvah of Sfiras HaEmor then could be seen as the mitzvah of taking the days and bundling them into weeks. And that's Sheva Shabbosis Tamimais Tiena. You should take those days and make them whole weeks. What does that mean? If days are individuals, so we know that the Torah says Sheishus Yom Tov Pizukom Lachtecha. There are 6 days that are yours. The Yom Shvi Shabbos Hashem Lachtecha. And one day Hashem says that's mine. And if all of our days are individual units, so it's very much differentiated. There's our days and there's His days. But that's, of course, not the way it's supposed to be. Shabbos is not supposed to be an isolated event. Shabbos is supposed to be an anchor for your week, that the whole week revolves around the Shabbos. The days leading up to Shabbos, that's how we think of them. They're leading up to Shabbos. The days following Shabbos, again, that's the way we're supposed to think of them, that these are the days that are influenced by the Shabbos that we just went through. And all of the days of our lives are supposed to revolve around the Shabbos, so that the Sheishdam Tavav Hizikom Lachtach, Vemishvi Shabbos Hashem Lachtach, what it really means is that the Shabbos is supposed to make it that you, the days of the Sheishes of Ayamasa are different kinds of, there are different kinds of Sheishes of Ayamasa. They're a more elevated Sheishes of Ayamasa because they're connected to a Shabbos. So there's an Avoid, which of course is a year-round Avoid, that connecting the Yemei Amasa to the Shabbos so that we're focused all the time, even when we're involved in our Sheishes of Ayamasa, we're going to work and we're pursuing mundane things, but we have the idea that this is all a means towards an end, and the end is Avodas Hashem. That's the idea of the days of the week revolving around the Shabbos. So the mitzvah of counting days, which are individual items, there's a Sunday, there's a Monday, there's a Shabbos, they'd be separate. But when you count them, you put them into groups, you form weeks out of the days, this is what it means. It means that you're working on this avodah of all of your Yemei Amaseh, of all of the mundane aspects of your life, being connected to Kedusha, being connected to Ruchnias, the Yemei Amaseh being connected to a Shabbos. And then that's the mitzvah of Sheva Shabbos is to Mimus Tiyana. You work on making these days into weeks. They should be weeks. There shouldn't be any individual days, any free-floating Tuesday that's just a Tuesday. No, a Tuesday is Yom Shlishi v'Shabbos. It's connected to a Shabbos. And then that's the achana for Kabbalah Satayra, because Kabbalah Satayra is, you know, Hashem gave the Torah before Shavuos. The Torah was up in Shemayim, right? Tnei Hoitchal Shemayim, where it was by the Malachi Asharis that have no Yetzirah, that have no mundane activities, that have no, you know, struggles with Gashmias. And Hashem said, okay, but that's not where the Torah is going to live. I'm giving the Torah down to the Basar of Adam, to the Yelud Isha, because the idea is supposed to be the Torah is supposed to help Yidden make their Gashmias into Ruchnias, connect Gashmias to Ruchnias and elevate all of our lives. That's what the Torah is all about. So that's the Hachana for Kabbalah Satera. So the end of it is called Chag HaShavuos. The idea is that by the time we get to the end, there's supposed to be no such thing as days anymore. There's no individual days. It's all weeks. We've succeeded in the avoida of bundling our days into weeks, that every day is now connected to the unit which revolves around the Shabbos, and then we're ready for Kabbalah Satayra. Okay.
Who says this?
It's putting together a little bit, rehearsing a little bit the Tzvas Emes. Now, I'm going to continue sort of the Inyan L'Inyan we were talking about last week, but it's also connected to this week's parasha that, you know, last week we were talking about B'chai Behem. B'chai Behem is the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. The mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh always goes hand in hand with the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, because that's, the Rambam said, that's the makar of the halacha of the mitzvah of sacrificing your life when the Torah demands that. So by Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shfichas Damim, you have to give up your life. That's learned from a pasuk in Parshas Emor. That's the makar of the mitzvah to give up your life for Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shfichas and Shfichas Damim. And the halacha that by other mitzvahs we say, for Karet, we say, Yavar V'al Yehareg, that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha, all the other Yisroel in the Torah, that's learned from B'chai Abraham, which is written in Parshas Achreimais. So these two psukim really are the basis for the whole sugya. So we were talking last week about Pikuach Nefesh, that's learned from B'chai Abraham. So continuing, Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isay Inyan. In that Gemara in Yuma, on Daf Pehei, where we mentioned last week that Shmuel says that we learn Pikuach Nefesh Deich Shabbos from V'chai Bohem. But we mentioned last week that Shmuel's words come after a whole collection of statements of various Tanayim that learn Minayim Pikuach Nefesh Deich Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel said we learn from Machteres. Rabbi Elazar said we learn from Mila. There were five other drushes, and so finally Shmuel came and he said, V'chai Bahem, and Rabbi said, oh, I like Shmuel's drusha the best. One of the drushes in that collection of drushes was Rav Shimon Manasseh, who said that we learn from V'shamru B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. This is also a very well-known, this is probably the second most well-known drusha, maybe this is even the most well-known drusha. It says, V'shamru B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos, that your Shabbos has to lead to a Shmir Shabbos. So it's kedai to be mechalal one Shabbos kedai sheyishmeru Shabbos is harbei. From there we learn that we're doich Shabbos mishum pikuach nefesh, because if a person is Rahman al-Zon, he's dying, the, like the example of the Gemara, the building fell down. So, you know, we could say, oh, it's Shabbos, we're not going to get involved, and he'll die. But if we're Mechal Shabbos, and then he'll live, and then he'll go on to live for many years, and he'll keep Shabbos for many, many weeks, so it's Kedai to be Mechal one Shabbos in order to keep many Shabbosites. That's the drasha of Rabbi Shimon Menasya. And that drasha, Rabbi Shimon Menasya's drasha, that really evokes a lot of hard questions, because the way he says it, that the reason why we're doicha Shabbos p'koach nefesh is because that way we'll keep more Shabbosites, so it seems to suggest that it's only if we'll get more Shabbosites out of it. What if the person is not going to end up keeping more Shabbosites? What if he's not going to make it to next Shabbos? It would seem from this drasha, chalel Shabbos achas kadei sheishmu Shabbosites harbei, that if you knew the patient wasn't going to make it for 7 days, you wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos, because it's not going to be Shemir Shabbos Esharbeh. So the Me'iri on that, but it's clear in the Gemara that that's not true, because it's clear in the Gemara that we're Mechfak and Esagal, we're Doicha Shabbos, even for Chayei Shah. Chayei Shah means temporary life, right? The Gemara talks over there about Chayei Shah and Chayei Olam. It does, you know, elsewhere the Gemara talks about Chayei Shah and Chayei Olam. Chayei Shah means like this world, and Chayei Olam means the next world. But that's not what it means in the context of Pikuach Nefesh. In the context of Pikuach Nefesh, Chayei Olam means a person who's going to live a long time, and Chayei Shah means that he's so badly injured he's really going to die soon, but we could preserve his life a little bit. That's called Chayei Shah. And it's before in the Gemara that we are Doicha Shabbos even for Chayei Shah. So the Meiri asks, why are we Doicha for Chayei Shah if the whole reason is Kedeshi Shabbos is Harbei? So the Meiri says that Shabbos is Harbei is love dafke. It doesn't have to be dafke Shabbos. It means mitzvahs. And if you could preserve a person's life for a minute, he could do mitzvahs in that minute. Even if he's at the bottom of a rubble, or, you know, a pile of rubble, and he's not putting on tefillin, and he's not, you know, learning Torah, he's not doing anything, but he's, you know, down there at the bottom of the rubble, if he stays alive for another minute, he could say vidui, he could say shema. He's wearing tzitzis, that's a good point, right? Mila. He's wearing tzitzis, what?
Mila.
Mila, okay, he has mila, okay. What the Meiri says is that how valuable it is for a person who's dying to stay alive for a minute longer, he has another minute to do tshuva. That's a very valuable mitzvah when you're on the threshold of the next world. That's a very valuable mitzvah. So the Meiri says that you don't have to worry about whether he's going to make it to next Shabbos. It's always kedai to keep him alive for another minute because of the mitzvahs that he could do in that minute.
According to the rough cases, if you save somebody, he'll live. It's very, very rare to find the case where you save him, or he'll die 5 minutes later.
Well, okay, but the Gemara is talking about just such a case. The Gemara says, what about if it's Chayei Shah?
The reason why you can be Mechal Shabbos is because of all the other Shabbosim. So in most cases, they'll live the other Shabbosim, so you got to do it. You can't worry about that one person that's going to die in 2 minutes.
Right. The question is not whether we should avoid all Chil Shabbos because of the occasional case of Chayei Shah. The question is when it's known to be a case of Chayei Shah.
You don't know. Okay. But the guy's on cardiac arrest, and you know somebody's about to die. If we never know.
The Gemara is talking about a case where, according to the best of our medical opinion, our medical knowledge, we do know. I think certainly nowadays there are situations that would fall into that category. Really?
Yeah, never.
Sure.
It's very rare to find
somebody's brain dead or somebody there's no...
Can you imagine how
small a machine that could last?
But the point that Moore talks about hypothetical cases.
Don't
ask from...
Can you imagine how Tzala is not going to go on a case because he's going to die anyway?
No, the Moore say you do it.
The halacha is that we do. The halacha is that we do. Okay, that's... All right, good. So we're on the same team.
Okay, so we see soon
that there are... significant nafkaminos. The Meiri, what's interesting is that from the way the Meiri asks the question, it seems that the Meiri is working with the assumption that the Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheishmu Shabbos is Harbei, the lumdus has to work, meaning we're really only willing to push aside Shabbos because we're going to get more mitzvahs out of it. Frank the Meiri, what about if he's about to die? And for the Meiri, even so, we could get more mitzvahs out of it if he stays alive to do more tshuva. So that's more mitzvahs. But what about if we came up with a case where we really were quite confident that we wouldn't get any more mitzvahs out of it? It sounds like the Meiri would say in that case that you can't be Mechal Shabbos because then there's no Kadesh Yishu Shabbos Asarbe. What might be a case like that? So the place we talk about, let's say it's Chai Shah, guy that again, the doctors, the medical opinion is that we're only going to extend his life by a few minutes or an hour, and it's an infant, Rachman al-Tzlan. An infant in the minutes or hour is not doing any Hirurei Tshuva. So there's no more mitzvahs. And the doctor said, there's no way that this child is making it to 13 years old. Whatever we're going to do with him now, right, the Rachman al-Tzlan, he might last, you know, this could be, to put it into contemporary terms, like he's not on the bottom of a pile of rubble, but a baby is born, Rachman al-Tzlan, with a disease from which they know based on the history that they never make it past the first birthday, the second birthday, and there are diseases like that. But within that first year, emergencies arise, and you know, if you treat the emergency, he'll make it to the end of the week, to the end of the month, but he's an infant. So there's no hope of Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos Harabeh. According to the simple reading of the Gemara, again, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh's Drasha, it would seem that we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos for such a case. So the Mishnah Berurah, and in Poskim, this is actually a very contested Shaila. Halacha L'maaseh, okay, we'll come just straight to the end because I was getting you nervous. Hatzala is Mechal Shabbos for such cases. That's the bottom line. The Mishnah Berurah says this. But as recently as there's a discussion in the Beis Meir, early 1800s, late 17, early 1800s, and what's very fascinating, he was a friend of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he brings down a dialogue that he had with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now Rabbi Akiva Eiger, of course, is much more famous than the Beis Meir. We've all heard of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The Beis Meir also was very much one of the Gedalei Adar, but you know, this piece might be particularly valuable for the fact that it brings us to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Come on in. So the case that they talked about was, you know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, right, the Gemara talks about being Mechal Shabbos. Hi, welcome. To be Miyaled and Isha. Isha is Yesheves al Mashber, she's going into labor, so we're doing a Shabbos to help her out because it's considered a Chel Sheish by Sakana. The Magen Avraham, this is in Simon Shin Lamed, the Magen Avraham talks about what about if it's in a family of Karayim? The Karayim, right, you know, nowadays we talk about, you know, non from people that don't keep Torah mitzvahs. In those days, in the times of the Magen Avraham, they didn't really have people that were officially non from, and you had people that kept the mitzvahs better. You didn't have people that kept the mitzvahs worse. You didn't have other movements that believed in not keeping the mitzvahs. But you did. You had the Karayim. The Karayim only believed in Torah Shabbat and not Torah Shabbat Peh. They considered themselves Jewish, but the way they kept the mitzvahs was not a real Shemiras HaMitzvahs. Their Kiyum HaMitzvahs, first, they were Kofrim. We considered them Kofrim, and we also considered them to be Mechal Le Shabbos because they didn't believe in the whole business of Lamitas Malachas. They had fire. Certain, right? They were very big about not having fire on Shabbos. And they had certain observances on Shabbos, and they would have prayer services on Shabbos, but they didn't have the concept of malachas as we know it. So the Magen Avraham talks about what about being Mechal Shabbos to be miyaled to help Aleda by the Karayim. Rabbi Kivega wrote on this. He wrote, I don't know where, if he wrote it on the Tshuva, he wrote it on the Sadeh Shulchan Aruch, or he wrote it to the Beis Meir, but the Beis Meir was aware of Rabbi Akiva Eiger having written, and then he was responding to him. Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote that Avada, we should be Mechal Shabbos, even for the Karayim, because the child, the baby, is a teenage shenishma, meaning whatever feelings you might have towards the Karayim about maybe, you know, not even wanting to save them, but you can't have that against a child. The child, I mean, he's 8 days old. It was before the meal. I'm sorry, Miyali, he's 0 days old, right? So he's a teenage shenishma, so we have nothing against him. So, of course, we should be Mechal Shabbos to help him be born. The Beis Meir wrote to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and said, what are you talking about? The whole reason why we're Mechal Shabbos is Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos Nisar Bei. This child He's being born into a family of Karayim. His parents are Karayim, his grandparents are Karayim, he's in a community of Karayim. He's going to grow up to be a Mechal Shabbos. There's no plausible reason to expect that he'll be anything other than a Mechal Shabbos. So he's going to grow up to be a Mechal Shabbos. So there's no Chalel Shabbos, Achas, Kadesh, Yishmu, Shabbos, Yishar, Bey. So this, again, this is following the same rationale that we saw in the Meiri, that you need, we're only Mechal Shabbos because it's going to lead to a greater outcome. It's going to lead to more mitzvahs, right? Shabbos, other mitzvahs. But if it's not going to lead to any mitzvahs, we can't be Mechal Shabbos. So the Beis Meir said, you can't be Mechal Shabbos to help a baby Karoi, even though he's a teenage Shanishba, but he's going to grow up not to keep any Shabbosos. He wrote this back to Rabbi Veger. He said, Rabbi Veger, why are you saying, and they were friends with each other and they corresponded often, why are you saying that your Mechal Shabbos to help a Isha from the Karayim give birth, and you're saying because it's Tinik Shanishba, but there's not going to be any Shmir Shabbos in his future? So Rabbi Veger said back that you're making a big mistake. It's true that one of the five drushes in the Gemara, Shimon ben Manasseh, he says, we learn it from Chalol Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos Harbet, but that's not the lumdus of the Heter. The Heter of Pikuach Nefesh doesn't require that there is, we anticipate some mitzvahs in his future. The lumdus of the Heter is because a Nefesh mi Yisrael is precious in the eyes of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. Avad, the Rosh Hashanah hopes he'll do mitzvahs, but even if he'll do averis, he's a nefesh mi Yisrael, mizera Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved, and every one of their offspring, that nefesh is doicha Shabbos. And it's not because of the anticipation that he's going to keep more mitzvahs. And Rabbi Kivager wrote, it's got very interesting, because he said, how do I know? He said, because it's true that Rabbi Shimon Manasseh's drasha, one could have mistaken to mean that it's only if there's going to be more Shmir Shabbos. But look at the other drashas. And there are five other drashas in the bright side. But he picks in particular, he says, Rabbi Lazar's drasha. He says, Rabbi Lazar's drasha is that we learn a kal, again, to the question of Minayim and Pukuch Nefesh, Adarechas Shabbos, Rabbi Lazar said, Kal v'charim mila. Uma mila shi aver echad. There's only one aver on a person's guf, and to fix that aver, we're doicha Shabbos because mila is doicha Shabbos. So his whole guf halachas kama b'chama. Zokti Rabbi Veger, and just like that mila we would do on Shabbos, even if the kid's not from. So too pikuach nefesh. Again, if we're learning pikuach nefesh from mila, so too pikuach nefesh we can do even if he's not from. So Beis Meir wrote back. He said, what? You're bringing right from Mila? He said, Adraba. But Mila, the halacha is that we wouldn't do it if he's not from. Now, this is, again, this is off of our topic, but just, you know, as an aside, as a tangent, fascinating question. We actually touched on this a few weeks ago. We were talking about Mila. I think I mentioned here how sometimes the Shaila comes up. A Moyel has a Shaila. If he's going to go, if he's invited to do a Mila by non-from Yedin. And the Shiloh that was asked to Moshe and to other Paisim was that maybe I shouldn't go because they're going to drive, they're going to have music, whatever, there's going to be Chil Shabbos there, maybe I shouldn't participate. But it was a given that if they wouldn't be doing all of that, we would do the Mila itself is Zeich HaShabbos. But the emes is that even that is not at all a Devar Pashut. The Beis Meir says that if you take a look in Yevideish, Reish Samach Vav, and Hilchas Mila, a lot of the Paisim hold that Mila is only Deich HaShabbos by Frum Yedin. The Mila of a Frum Yid is Deich HaShabbos. The Mila of, and how do you define a Frum Yid? So the Shach says, the Shach means to be coming to give a Kula. And he says, if either one of the parents is Frum, then we could hope what? That the child is going to wind up being Frum.
Why wouldn't Mila itself be Deich HaShabbos? Why do you need that?
So what?
If you learn to live in the Torah,
right.
Why do you need
the Funkai.
The Funkai.
Yeah,
the Mila is the Tech Shabbos.
Right.
That child's Jewish.
What's the Svara?
If the child is Jewish, then it's a Mila.
That is the Prichodesh argues that against the Shach. Prichodesh says that Avada, the mitzvah of Mila, is, you know, we have a mitzvah for them regardless. And that's Lemaitza, at the end of the day, right? We're all noyig like the Shita of the Prichodesh and other Paisim. Rabbi Kivager over here is clearly endorsing that Shita. But again, this is a tangent for us. I just wanted to bring out that the Beis Meir, you know, that this was not considered davar pashut. So Rabbi Kiveger had brought the drasha about mila to demonstrate that we're not interested in whether it's going to lead to more mitzvahs. And the Beis Meir said, misham raya, over there by mila, it is only if it's going to lead to more mitzvahs. But lemaisa, coming back to pekuach nefesh, which is our inyan, the Beis Meir holds halacha lemaisa that if there's no expectation that it's going to lead to more mitzvahs, we wouldn't be mechal Shabbos. So what's his case? So you're saying that medically we can't really come up with a case. Maybe you're right, but the Beis Meir's case is if it's a tinek shenishba. Tinek shenishba, meaning a child that's growing up among the Goyim, so in all likelihood, his whole life he's going to live as a Goy, or in that case, where he's going to live among the Karoyim or among the Mechal Shabbos. If the anticipation is that his whole life he's not going to keep Shabbos, so the Beis Meir held halacha l'mayis, and then we're not Mechal Shabbos for him. And Rabbi Kiveger argued, and this was, again, this is late 1700s, early 1800s, this was the Gedalia HaPaiskim, had a correspondence about this topic. So it's not at all a davar pashut. Rabbi Kiveger said we would be Mechal Shabbos, the Beis Meir said we wouldn't.
What? Do we consider Karoyim today Jewish?
I think we consider them Jewish.
Sure.
In Los Angeles,
there's 40,000 Karoyim in Israel.
Yeah.
California, I think, has more. I think California is the biggest.
Another place, by the way, I googled it. Ukraine has the second largest population of
Karoyim.
What are you saying?
Wow.
Interesting.
But the point is, do we consider them Jewish today?
I think so.
We do.
I think we consider them Jewish. I mean, as far as I know, nothing has changed since...
If they want to keep mitzvahs, you don't make them go through gior.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they would require a gior l'chumra, because...
We consider them on
Zayim. That's a hard question.
By the way,
not for today.
People are raising money for them, knocking on doors.
I didn't like that Kalvachar, but that
was made. We're there's a Hassel Sefashah from Amzeirim also.
The Rav made a Kalvachar from Mila, Madach, you know, you do
Mechal Shabbos for Eber
Echad. It's
Rabbi Lazar, Tana and the Brisa.
You're not being Mechal Shabbos for one Eber, you're being Mechal Shabbos for that person.
For the mitzvah.
It's happening on that Eber.
Right.
But it's for the person.
Right. Yeah, so I think we might have talked about this a different time when we were talking about Mila. It's what does that Kal V'Chomer tell us about the Lamdas in the mitzvah of Mila, and Halacha Mila Derech Shabbos? That's a good ha'ara. Well, let's put that aside, though, for today.
But don't we have a concept of tshuva, right? We say it, on Yom Kippur Davening, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it say? Miad, Kilu Drubanim
Shoshav Miad Makabalah.
Exactly. So how do we know what's going to happen with this child in the future?
So how can the Beis Meir say that we don't save a life? I think he says that if there... You never know, but if there isn't any realistic, you know, this was before Noach Weinberg was out there trying to pull his kids off the wall. If there wasn't any realistic expectation that he would ever come to Torah Mitzvahs, so he felt that's called, there's no Kadesh Yishmu Shabbat Tzaharbe. But the Machlekes and Lamdus between Rabbi Kiveger and the Beis Meir, again, you know, we could quibble about the cases. Is this a good case of no future of Shabbos or isn't it? But the machlokes and lumdus is, do you need that there's a future of Shmir Shabbos? The Beis Meir said, look, the drush of the Gemara is, Kadesh Shishmir Shabbos is Harbe. If it wouldn't come to Shabbos is Harbe, then we're not Machal Shabbos. And we were medayik from the Me'iri, the Me'iri is a Rishon, the Rishon also seems to hold that way. But Rabbi Kiveger was saying that no, you don't need the Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos Tzaharbe, even though one of the drushes, Taka says that, but since the other drushes clearly wouldn't hold that way, so either this one is outvoted, or this one, the Lashon is Lav Dafka, that really you don't need Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos Tzaharbe. But this is a machlokes, it's a very contested question. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Biur Halacha, Mishnah Berurah was still, I guess, somewhat of an open question, because the Mishnah Berurah came to bring an original raya and to be machriya, that we are Mechal Shabbos, even where we don't anticipate the Shabbos Tzaharbe. And he has an ingenious raya. The case that he comes up with is better than all the cases that we discussed until now. Medically, you know, we said, oh, but you know, like you said, it's that you never know, maybe there's going to be a refuah shleima al derech neis. You know, his frumkeit you say, you never know, maybe one day he's gonna come around and he's gonna do tshuva. The Shabur brings a raya from a case where he is alpidin not obligated in Shemiras Shabbos. What's the case? Okay. If you have a child, this is the Gemara in Yuma, the bottom of Pei Dalet Amud. It's close to the Gemara that we were just talking about. It's Pei Dalet Amud based at the top of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. The Gemara is talking about a tinuk mushlach. If we find an abandoned baby, and then we pick him up, we're bringing him in. So how do we treat him? So this is one of the big Gemaras about Roiv. The Gemara says that if it's an ear Sheruba Yisrael, we assume he's Yisrael. If it's an ear Sheruba Nachrim, then we assume that he's a Nachri. So what does that mean? That we assume that he's a Nachri, that he's not Chayiv. If it's an ear Sheruba Nachri, then this child is not Chayiv in the mitzvahs. And when he grows up, Basin is not going to tell him to keep Shabbos, to eat kosher. Adarabba, if to the extent that Basin has any influence on him, they would inform him of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, and that's it. He's a guy. Halachically, he's a guy. But the Gemara says, that's Lagabi Shabbos, because for Shabbos is a din of roiv. That's Lagabi Kashrus. It's Lagabi Arayas, is a din of roiv. But Lagabi Nefashois, Bekuach Nefesh, Ein Hulchum Nefashos Achar HaRoiv. So even though there's no heter pikuach nefesh for a guy, but for a tinuk mushlach, v'ir sherubay akum, there's a heter pikuach nefesh. So we would be doicha Shabbos to save this kid's life. Because now this is, again, it's not, the Gemara has deis about it, and Evan Ezra Simendala, there's even machlekes hapaiskim machaber Ramah, it's not really so clear, but the bottom line, the Ramah, over there in Evan Ezer, there are more paskins that we would be doicha Shabbos to save the life of this tinuk mushlach. So imagine the scenario over here. We're being doing a Shabbos to save a life of a kid that, or a child or an adult, he may be an adult already, who is al pidin potter from Shabbos. And if he asks us after we're mechal Shabbos to save his life, if he then asks us, wow, I'm so grateful to you, I'll do anything. You want me to keep Shabbos? We'll say, no, there's no reason why you should keep Shabbos. I'll be din, you're a guy.
But only Misa if you keep Shabbos.
Yeah, okay, right. Akum Shah Shabbos, Chayav Misa. Well, I don't know. Well, then we'd rely on the Miyot that he's Israel.
Maybe because he's maybe a Jew.
Right.
There's going to be a question about all his own mitzvahs later on in life.
Well, a baby like that.
Yeah, if he
does, he have to in the morning.
If he wants to become Jewish, he'd be a ger. He'd be a ger. Because he, again, which we mean, he's a Rubai Akum. So he's the guy, Alpidin. Except for everything except for Atzal Safashai. Since in Holchim and Afashai, Zachar arrived, so for Atzal Safashai, he's the Israel. For everything else, he's a guy. So now, if the Beis Meir was right, that the basis of Pekuach Nefesh is Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos is Harbeh, over here, he's never going to be Yishmu Shabbos is Harbeh because we don't even want him to keep Shabbos. He's not supposed to keep Shabbos. And yet, since we're not Semichan Uroiv for Hatzalos Nefasha, he's in Ochman Nefasha Sachar Roiv, so we're Deich Shabbos to save his life. So we're being Deich Shabbos to save a life that obviously is not going to lead to a Shmir Shabbos. It's not even supposed to lead to a Shmir Shabbos. So like Mishmur, that's the Chayr Rayash Einel of Tshuva. That you don't need the Kadesh Yishmu Shabbos is Harbeh in order to have the Heter Pekuach Nefesh. The Heter Pekuach Nefesh is just because, like Rabbi Kivega described, it's the Zera of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's Chav of Tarek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Deicha Shabbos, to keep the person alive. And over there, even though he's probably a goy, but there is a suffix because he was a Tinek Mushloch, so because of that possibility, that chance, we're Deicha Shabbos. So this makes Nafkamin is in the case that we discussed before, which might be, maybe some of them are debatable, but let's say that the baby, the Tay-Sachs baby, is never going to come to a Shemir Shabbos, or a much more common scenario that also should l'chir be totally on this suffix. You know, the Meiri said that even if the doctors say he's gonna die soon, but keep him alive for a minute so he could be Mahar Tshuva in that minute. But what if he, Nebuch is Ivru Batal, and his mind has not been working for 20 years already, right? He's 100 years old, and Nebuch, his mind hasn't been working. He doesn't know where he is, who he is, coming or going. In Gansen senile. Right, Alpidin is a shait. He's not chayiv in mitzvahs. He's not capable of mitzvahs. He's not chayiv in mitzvahs. There's one thing here. He's not even capable of mitzvahs. According to the, he's not going to be Mahar Tshuva B'Libay. So there'd be a strong argument to say, according to the Beis Meir, according to the Meiri, that how could Hatzalah be Mechal Shabbos to save him? But the Mishabur is saying that no, this is another nafkamina in the same shaila. Since we're passing like Rebbe Akiva Eiger over the Beis Meir, we're passing that it's the Nefesh Miyisrael that's doicha. It's not the Shmiras Shabbos Eis Harbi that's doicha. So for such a patient, Hatzalah is also going to respond to the call. That's how we pass, and that's the halacha l'maisa. It's very debatable. It's a big machlekes, but this raya of the Mishnah Berurah is machriya, and that's how we're knowing that we're machal Shabbos for any hatzalah of any kind of a nefesh Yisrael, even for a chayisha.
Yeah, Misham Eva also,
you know. Like, yeah. So that's our next discussion. That's our next discussion. We'll come to that in a minute. This Mishnah Berurah is Shin Lamed or Shin Chav Tes.
He doesn't
even
get
into Lamdas. Yeah. He's in the Bir Halacha. It's a Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha he does.
Yeah.
It's either Shin Chavtes or Shin Lamed. I think it's Shin Chavtes. Oh, so yes. I think this Bir Halacha is in Shin Chavtes. Okay, now, within this last discussion, so one of the things that we touched on is that for a guy, we're not Machal Shabbos. That's why this whole case was Negeya. Is he Yisrael? Is he Akum? Because, right, and you know, if it's a Roy, the Yeshua Rubai Akum, if we go after the Roy, we wouldn't be Matzalim, because the din for a guy would be that we're not Machal Shabbos. So, what about somebody just mentioned a few minutes ago, what about the question of Mishum Eva? So, the Emes is Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings up this question. It's talking over there also about being miyaled, going to help, a midwife going to help a woman who's giving birth. And Rav Yosef had a havamina that we should allow the midwife to be Deicha Shabbos even for a non-Jewish yelades. Mishum Eva, because you know, otherwise if the discrimination is going to lead to very strong antagonism and Sinas Yisrael, and it's going to lead to Sakharas Safashis. So Mishum Eva, maybe we should be Deicha Shabbos. Abaya said to Rav Yosef, there's not going to be any Eva. They should understand very well that, we'll explain to them, that it's not that the Yidin, the Nefesh of Yisrael is any more harsh than the Nefesh of a Goy, but it's just that relative to Shabbos, those that keep Shabbos, Shabbos steps aside for their nefesh. Those that don't keep Shabbos, Shabbos doesn't step aside for their nefesh. So it's really very logical, and you should be able to have a logical discussion with any guy and explain to them, this is why we're not...
Who says this?
Huh?
Who says
it? Abaya. Oh. Abaya.
Yeah.
That,
it's hard to believe that anybody would think that rational argument would work.
So it's interesting that in a few minutes we'll come back to that. We're going to explore to what extent there might be a cultural factor here. But this is what the Gemara says, that Abaya said that it's very logical that we're only Deicha Shabbos for those that keep the Shabbos. Those that don't keep the Shabbos, we're not Deicha Shabbos for them. So therefore, there's no reason they should be insulted, and therefore we're not Deicha Shabbos for them. That's the Maskana of the Gemara. It's Rav Yosef was the Havamina, Abaya was the Maskana. The Maskana is that we don't use the argument of Eva to be Deicha Shabbos. Maskana is the Gemara. It's brought down like this in the Rambam, it's brought down like this in the Shulchan Aruch. It really seems like you know, less man de Palik, that's the Psak. And the Mishnah Berurah, there's a Mishnah Berurah in, this is in Shimon Lamed, I think, Simon Shin Lamed. The Mishnah Berurah actually says that, he's very upset with the doctors biyameinu, that he says afilu haksheirim shavahem, even the best of doctors, even the frum doctors, but they respond to a call from goyim on Shabbos and they say mishum eva, and they go and they do malachis day raisa of kaisev of shchikas amonim, and he said it's a mefurja halacha that this is considered a chil Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, and I consider them Mechal Le Shabbos B'mezid. So the Mishnah Berurah says on the Toivim Shebereifim that I consider them Mechal Le Shabbos B'mezid because it's a Beferish Halacha Psuka that Eva is not a heter on going to treat Goyim medically on Shabbos. Now, that's the Mishnah Berurah. Not so long ago. There's a tshuva, however, in the Igros Maisha, a very influential tshuva. This was, you know, one of those tshuvas that like this, a few tshuvas in the Gris Moshe that really had a very, very big impact on life as we know it. So the tshuva in the Gris Moshe, this tshuva, tshuva was written in Tavshan Lama Tess. It's interesting, it was written, some of you may be familiar, I think this doctor is still in practice. There's a doctor in Borough Park, a Dr. Zemba, who has a practice in Borough Park. You know?
My parents were patients.
Okay. He's still there? So when he graduated medical school, he sent Rav Moshe Feinstein a shayla. This is in Tavshan Lama Tess, it's 1979. He sent Rav Moshe Feinstein a shayla with a few questions that are relevant to, you know, now that I'm becoming a doctor. And one of the shaylas was about treating goyim on Shabbos. And Rav Moshe wrote that from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav, it's mefurish that it's mutter. What? Mefurish that it's mutter? I just wrote down the Gemara in Daf Chavav where it's mefurish that it's aser. Zog Rav Moshe, it's mefurish in the Gemara that Eva is enough of a basis to be matir Chal Shabbos. Because that was Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that we should be Chal Shabbos for the Goyim Mishum Eva. Now, it's true that Abaya argued, but Abaya only argued because he said, nah, there's not going to be any Eva from this. Nobody's going to mind. Nobody's going to mind. We can explain it to them. They'll accept it. It's very rational. Zok Rav Moshe, I don't think that's going to work nowadays. It's just not, you know, he said, Lamaisa, if we don't treat the Goyim on Shabbos, there's going to be a tremendous uproar. And they'll be upset, and the government is going to be upset, and it's going to lead to extraordinary, you know, sinas Israel. And therefore, we revert back. Now, we're not arguing on the Gemara. We're just, you know, the Gemara said that if there's going to be Eva, that's Matichel Shabbos. If there's not going to be Eva, there's not going to be Matichel Shabbos. 1,700 years ago, they made an assessment based on the current events and the culture that there isn't going to be Eva. Nowadays, I'm making an assessment based on our current events and our culture that there is going to be Eva. If there's going to be Eva, then that's Doicha Shabbos. Rav Moshe said, therefore, we're Doicha Shabbos even for Hatzal Tafashas of a Goy.
Even if it's not fascist, I mean, even not Pikuach Nefesh, they'd be like, you should treat me. I mean, people go to a hospital on Shabbos because they break their knee.
Right.
If
it's not Pikuach Nefesh, that if there isn't any basis to consider Pikuach Nefesh, then there isn't any
heter. There's a doctor in the hospital who's on call, you know, and he's doing rounds, whatever it is.
So if it's something that doesn't involve Pikuach Nefesh, even by any stretch of the imagination, then it can't be mutter.
Can't be mutter. Stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. That, you know, Hatzalah sometimes, you know, the risk of infection is a big expander. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong. I don't know how, whatever, Hatzalah has their poiskim. But if it's a loophole, okay, but the fact that once there's a cut, a wound, a break, or something, so it's a small thing, and it, you know, and it's, we're really just talking about how well you're gonna walk or how well you're gonna play tennis under ordinary circumstances. But once there's a break, a cut, a wound, so what if it gets infected? If it doesn't heal properly, it can get infected. And if it gets infected, then so I think Lamaisa Hatzala relies on that to be matter a lot.
Is a minute risk.
Okay.
Infection.
Okay. Okay.
That's it.
So, but you have to be able to somehow bring it back to Sekhanas Nefashis. Otherwise, you know, incidentally, the whole first half of the tshuva, you say that, you know, if he has his rounds on Shabbos, in the first half of the tshuva, you know, we'll come back to that maybe. But this is the bombshell chiddush. The Rav Moshe says that I'm not, you know, we're not changing the halacha. We're just applying what it says in the Gemara to the world as we know it. And in the world as we know it, there is a metzias of Eva, and therefore you have to be Deicha Shabbos even for the nefesh of a guy. Now, what exactly changed from the world in times of Abaye and Rabbah to the world in times of Moshe Feinstein?
Everything.
Why was okay?
Everything.
Okay, that's true. That's true. It's a very different world.
Everything.
So
everything.
So the Nakuda that as far as the Eva. So it's Moshe right. Mentions one detail, and I want to suggest a second one also. Moshe mentions the fact that, and it's interesting that he's writing in 1979, right? And you know, over here in 2022, we understand this far more than he ever did.
Right.
But Moshe said, because the world is a very small place now, And what, you know, we can't say that what happens in Radin stays in Radin. What happens in Luban stays in Luban. You know, if anything happens, it's all over the entire world. So maybe, you know, Abaye was able to say to a Yid, look, you know, you make an assessment and look at your neighbors and the people around you and who's going to hear and what you're going to tell them and how they're going to receive it. And you know, and if you can make a hashara that nobody's going to get too upset, it's not going to lead to a pikuach nefesh. But he said, but nowadays, the you know, it would be in the newspapers and it would be all over the world. So now you have to start clarifying, is there anyone anywhere in the world that's going to get so upset about this that it might lead to Sinas Yisrael, that would lead to Pikuach Nefesh? It could lead to, and he says in particular, he says in Russia, you can tell he's upset, you know, because he's really upset that the Mishnah Berurah is the Chofetz Chaim. He said, he doesn't understand how the Chofetz, like he's, you know, Rav Moshe came from Russia. He said, we're Lanzlite, you know, me and the Chofetz Chaim. He said, if where I come from, if a Yid would, if a Jewish doctor would say, I'm not treating you on Shabbos because you're not Jewish, so there's a very strong chance that he'd be murdered. The doctor would be murdered. There's a very strong chance. But not only that, the doctor would be murdered. I think it's more than likely that the murderer, when he was brought to trial, he would present his defense and the judge would accept it. His defense would be, he said he's not going to treat me because I'm a Ruski. So, you know, the judge would say, you're right for killing him. Or at most, he would give him a small knas, but he wouldn't put him in jail. It would be an acceptable defense. Now, once the murder of the Jew has an acceptable defense, then obviously that creates tremendous sakana for the Jew because then there's almost no deterrent for the murder. So he says, that's the Russia that I know, and I don't understand how the Mishnah Berurah could write that there's no heter for the doctors to treat the goyim. But he emphasizes because how it's a small world, you know, you have to think about the global impact of
future Jews will die.
Right.
And not treat right.
Well, that was before the internet.
Eva and Jews now. I'm sorry.
Literally viral.
Right. Right.
Saying, why just kuch nefesh again? I mean, forget doctors. Anything. I'm saying now.
So maybe there could be Eva now, even if it's not kuch nefesh, the same. I hear, like you were asking before, is this a heter?
Let's say a dermatologist has his rounds on Shabbat. But there is. I'm saying, in the end of the day, if we went to a Geisha doctor, the Geisha doctor would have treated him. But a Jewish doctor said, look, you know, it's just a rash. You're not going to die from this rash. So he's not going to treat him.
He shouldn't make the rounds. If he's a dermatologist, he should make the rounds. Maybe a cardiologist, but not a dermatologist.
There are Mechleven rounds. If it's a medical school, you know, there are Mechleven.
Medical doctors.
Can you?
I hear. I don't know. I don't know what we would say about that. Eva. I hear. I'm not. I'm not a Paiske. I'm not sure what the Paiske can say. It's interesting that there's a story with the Chofetz Chaim. It's really me'inyan le'inyan, but it's a similar svara to what Rav Moshe is saying over here. That when it comes to pikuach nefesh, you really have to think about the long term, even remote possibilities. There's a story with the Chofetz Chaim. That there was a family in Poland called the Sharashevsky family, which was a very wealthy family, and they owned a tobacco plant, and a lot of Jews. It was a firm family, and a lot of Jews were employed in the Sharashevsky tobacco plant. And the way I saw the story written was at a certain point, the Polish government nationalized the factory. I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm going on a limb that maybe really was Russian. I mean, after the revolution, communism, that would make sense. But I don't know. But the factory was nationalized. And once it was nationalized and the Sharashevskys were out, and then the factory was 7 days a week, or maybe we were closed on Sunday, but it was no longer Shemir Shabbos. It was always a Shemir Shabbos. It was, you know, it was an employer of many Shemir Shabbos Yidin. And then it became not Shemir Shabbos. And, you know, and the Yidin that worked there needed to quit. But there were many Yidin that felt they couldn't, and they wouldn't, and they didn't. And Lamaise was the 1920s, I think, and it was a very, very hard time. And there were Yidden that continued to work. They had always been Shomer Shabbos, and then the Sharashevsky plant stopped being Shomer Shabbos, and the Yidden continued to work on Shabbos. And there were people, you know, that were sort of, you know, Askonim, Laman, Shmira Shabbos, that were trying to put together that the Gedalia Adur should come out with some kind of a very strong statement condemning the Yidden that are continuing to work on Shabbos. And they came to the Chofetz Chaim to sign on this. And the Chofetz Chaim, you know, was, I mean, his whole life, he was busy with just this kind of thing, trying to impress upon people the importance of Shemir Shabbos. Was at the time, the Shemir Shabbos was, you know, was very, very rough of Bidei Yisrael. And that was a big emphasis of the Chofetz Chaim. But, you know, so they thought that he would really like this idea. They came to him to get his signature, and he said, I can't sign this. Because it said something to the effect of how, you know, anybody that continues to work over here is Yaitse Michal Yisrael, something like that. Like we consider him out of the fold. I don't know, it wasn't quite a chirim, but a very strong expression of condemnation. Chofetz Chaim said, Avada, they should quit. They, you know, the Yid can't go to work on Shabbos. But Sharashevsky's plant, there's so many Yidden, so there's a good chance that there's some there that have a chayla at home with a need for medicine, that if they lose their income, they lose their medicine, the chayla is going to die. Hmm. That person is allowed to work on Shabbos. Now, the general psak is you have to tell the yid that they shouldn't work on Shabbos, and then that yid should go and ask a private shayla, and he would get a heter. But I'm afraid that if my signature is on this tzettel, then the big Yirei Shemayim is going to say, oh, the Chofetz Chaim said I should quit, I'm going to quit. But he's the one that if he would have asked me, I would have said not to, so I don't want to sign the tzettel. It's interesting that, you know, what it has in common with this svar of Moshe Feinstein, mm-hmm. is that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, you have to, you know, especially nowadays, when you're dealing with a large tzibur, you have to think about the possibility that somebody somewhere is going to come lidei pikuach nefesh, and that makes it have to be pikuach nefesh. And
what is it, to ask someone in the hospital if they're Jewish before you treat them, or don't treat them? So there could be a chance that the guy's a Jew. It's the same.
I mean, maybe each patient, maybe he's a Jew. Mm-hmm. Okay, sometimes you can tell. Except that side.
Yeah, he's got a big nose, he's a joke.
Yeah, sometimes you can tell. So Ramosha has this answer. He says that based on the fact that you never know, you know, if somewhere in the world, someone's going to have a negative reaction. Oh, so I wanted to just be Moisif. One other.
From Zamos is a true answer. Yeah. Ramosha brings it to you.
Okay. I wanted to be Moisif in terms of what changed from the times of Abaya to now. That to us it seems strange that anyone would have ever accepted this excuse, this defense, that we're only Mechal Shabbos for those that keep the Shabbos. So I think there's a very significant difference. Nowadays, the part that people find offensive about, I'm not going to treat you because, you know, I'm sorry. Back then, the part that people found offensive is that we're going to differentiate between Jews and Goyim, as if to say we're better than you, more chashuv, we're more important than you. Be consistent, you know, but the idea, you know, don't differentiate between Jews and Goyim. But the idea of placing religious values over other values, that wasn't foreign in the ancient world. A lot of people were, you know, considered religious values to be the supreme values. And a lot of people of various religions would be willing to give up their life for religious values. We don't, we don't violate this for anything. That wasn't offensive. The only thing was, but if you're going to set aside Shabbos for a Jew and not for a Goy, then you're saying that you're better than me. That's offensive. So to that, Abaye thought, no, I have an excuse. It's not that I'm better than you. It's just relative to Shabbos, Shabbos we don't want to set aside Shabbos, but Shabbos is willing to step aside for those that keep the Shabbos, right? Just like, you know, you could relate to that. You're willing to step aside for those that are loyal to you. So Shabbos steps aside for those that are loyal to Shabbos, but it's not that we're more important than you. Nowadays, it's not about the discrimination about the Jews rather than the Goyim. It's the whole idea of religious values over a life. Nowadays, in the Western world, human life is the supreme value. And the notion that a born human life. Thank you. Yeah. The notion that you're not gonna treat me because of a religious objection, religion ahead of life, that's already offensive. So then that's why Abaye's answer isn't relevant anymore. Ramesh doesn't say this far, but I think, I don't know if it's included in what he was saying, but I think it might be a very big part of just understanding the Gemara. It seems so foreign to us, but the Gemara says this far as if they expected that the Goyim would relate to it. And like Ramesh says, nowadays none of the Goyim relate to this. I think this is the Nakuda, because nowadays the world doesn't have the same respect for religious values altogether.
So if you have a Goy and a Jew drowning, which one do you save on Shabbos?
See, the Jew ahead of the guy.
They're going to say, hey, you don't care about the guy?
Well, because
if you can only choose one?
Yeah.
Well, because
so of the age of the day. It has nothing to do with the discussion.
Why did you choose him over him?
Yeah, I hear. So what should we do? Let the Jew drown?
That's going to cause problems.
No, what should we do? Let the Jew drown?
Maybe the Jew's going to get killed because he didn't save the guy.
Right.
Oh, you only saved that?
Yeah.
You only saved the
it's
Jew.
It's
going to
be a big problem. You don't care.
I jumped in the water.
You don't care about him.
Okay. Okay, certainly.
Which one do you
Mishum Eva, we definitely save. Mishum Eva, we definitely save Goyim. We definitely save Goyim.
Before you jump in the water, go ask your rabbi what to do.
And get my rabbi first.
Okay. Yeah, I'll stop here. Yeah.